Hi, I'm thinking of getting another tattoo to go with my raging dragon one.
Sure. What are you looking for?
Well, maybe something like a...
Bunnies! He wants a row of bunny rabbits with twitchy noses.
Your vote is your voice, so don't let others decide for you.
All holding giant flowers.
Who's that?
Ella. She works in the bank next door.
Make sure you're registered to vote. Go to checktheregister.ie and be a voter so that it's your voice that's heard. From Am Comisiún Toghcháin, Ireland's Independent Electoral Commission.
Too cute. And write Sarah on it.
Cute? I'm a martial arts champion. And my boyfriend's name is Jack.
Your way to work could sound like this. Or it could sound like...
Poet, punk, performer extraordinaire, the great Shane McGowan has left us.
Hardly a week goes by these days without a story about artificial intelligence making the news.
With war raging in the Middle East and Europe, have we been turning a blind eye all along?
Mute your commute with the Indo Daily Podcast. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to a bonus episode of The Left Wing with me, Sinead Cassan. Well, the Ireland team to play South Africa on Saturday has been named. Conor Murray starts at scrum half with Jameson Gibson-Park on the bench. So Murray starts on the occasion of his 100th cap for Ireland. Now, just to run through the starting 15 before we get going, it's a back three of Hugo Keenan, Robert Balakoon, Mac Hansen, Gary Ringrose and Robbie Henshaw are in the centre. Johnny Sexton captains the team, Conor Murray at scrum half. The pack is the same as the one that started all three tests in New Zealand. So it's Andrew Porter, Dan Sheehan, Tadhg Furlong in the front row, Tadhg Byrne and James Ryan in the second row, and Peter O'Mahony, Josh van der Fleer and Caelan Doris in the back row. On the bench, 5-3 split, no 6-2 here. So it's Rob Herring, Keane Healy, Finlay Beelum, Kieran Treadwell, Jack Conan, Jameson Gibson-Park, Joey Carberry and Stuart McCluskey. Now, Rory O'Connor, Chief Rugby Correspondent with the Irish Independent, is with us. Now, Rory, you're at the Aviva Stadium just before Andy Farrell has his press conference to talk about his team selection. Look, I suppose after the Ireland A team was named on Wednesday, we had a sense of how the Ireland team would look. But still, Conor Murray starts, Jameson Gibson-Park is on the bench. He's recovered, of course, from a hamstring injury. What do you make of that selection call?
I think a week or two ago, it would have been a big surprise, but it was interesting that Andy Farrell, in his press conference last week, his initial one last Tuesday, flagged that this would be Conor Murray's 100th cap. And it was definitive. There was no doubt that Craig Casey was getting ahead of him, or that, if Gibson Park, there was no doubt that he would not be involved. He was put up for the Sunday media to do interviews last week. So he's been kind of front and centre of this window, throughout from last week. So if you're reading the tea leaves, you're seeing that he's definitely going to have a big involvement. Maybe that's off the bench, but for his 100 cap, Farrell has decided to give him the start. And I guess where this comes from is Gibson Park's, as well as Hugo Keenan, hasn't played a minute this season. But whereas Hugo Keenan went for surgery, I think he had two operations on different parts of his body at the end of last season. It was all managed by the RFU. Gibson Park came back, missed out on selection for one of the Leinster games because he was ill, and then a week later did his hamstring in training. So while Hugo Keenan's absence was managed with this game date in mind, Gibson Park was more of a surprise to them. And I think with a hamstring, they're possibly being a little bit more cautious around them and easing him back into the fray. So I think there's no doubt at the moment that Gibson Park is Ireland's first choice number nine. But on the day of his 100th cap, Conor Murray, who has become less and less fashionable over the years, certainly on social media, and has kind of faded away from being in contention to start Ireland's big games in the last 18 months, now has a massive, massive chance to remind everyone of how good he is and put himself firmly back in the frame to start Ireland's big games going forward. Because once you're in possession and once you play well against the world champions, the jersey's yours to lose.
But I suppose the big question, Rory, is how does this change the way Ireland play on Saturday?
Yeah, we were going to see a change in the way Ireland play anyway, because I think this is a unique opposition. This is a team that can do things to you that other teams can't. And having a strategic kicking number nine who's very, very strong in defence will be an asset in some regards to Ireland. But in saying that, what they will lose is the zip and the sniping ability and the ability to see the play a phase ahead that Gibson Barr brings to the table. You see him arrive at the ruck and he's already scanning what he's going to do next. And while Murray is a good passer of the ball, he's a great box kicker, he reads the game really well, he's got 99 caps plus his Lions experience as well under his belt, he doesn't have naturally what Gibson Park has in terms of the pace and tempo he brings to the game. So Yes, there is going to be a change, and I think Ireland will, you know, if they're trying to outrun the box, will lose something in that. Although Murray is still a good passing nine, he doesn't have the break that he used to have. He does tend to arrive and then survey his options, which will give that brilliant South African defence a time to set. But it means that they can change the tempo with 50, 60 minutes to go. They wouldn't be picking Gibson Park on the bench if they didn't think he was fit enough to play, because they have Craig Casey fit enough to start on Friday night. So it does change things to some degree. But maybe when it comes to next year's World Cup, when you're playing at South Africa, Conor Murray is the man to play against them. He's played in those Lions tests last summer as well. The summer before last. So he knows what this box team brings. Yeah, I'm like that's the upside on it. Yeah, that my fear is that it will slow Ireland down just that degree that will allow South Africa to smother them. But at the same time, if Ireland are going backwards, if their pack has been beaten up, then Murray has more experience, has the kicking game, has the physicality to cope maybe better with what South Africa can bring to the table.
So how much of this selection call breaks down to Gibson Park just coming back from the hamstring injury, the style Andy Farrell wants to play, it being Connor's 100th test cap? You know, how does that all break down, like, in this selection call?
Like, I think if Gibson Park was playing well for Leinster, he'd be starting, because look at the rest of the team. He's gone with the team that beat New Zealand, by and large. James Lowe's out, Robert Balcoon's in. Other than that, everyone else was there in New Zealand, started those games. The entire pack is retained from there. So there's no doubt that Gibson Park was the man in possession. He was the man in form. He's an integral part to the way Ireland play, attacking both sides of the ruck, the flow that they bring to the table. But Andy Farrell is someone who likes to bring a theme to things. If you look at the players, even the players' social media after games, they hark back to the, you know, after the Triple Crown, it was Sexton's 100 cap, someone else, Ty Furlong's 50th, and a Triple Crown. And they all, that was obviously the team and the build up. And I think the team will be a lot around Conor Murray's 100th. Let's do it for Conor in some degree this weekend. And putting, you know, he didn't get to 100 caps by accident. He's a quality rugby player who has delivered unbelievably well for Ireland over the years. You know, he's been written off in some quarters. You know, I like what Gibson Park and Casey bring to the table. I like what John Cooney brings to the table. I wonder whether he's ever been the same player again after 2018. I wonder if the Munster, you know, malaise has infected him and he's just not the player he was. But at the same time, we know that he can deliver on big days. And the biggest reminder of that was when he did it in Twickenham in the Six Nations, when Ireland were starting to struggle against 14 men. He came on and he brought incredible calm and leadership to the table. And look, Ireland are going to need every bit of experience that he has this Saturday. And if it doesn't go well for him, he's under pressure. It's a very interesting 100th cap, because there's going to be huge scrutiny on him. You know, it'll be a celebration, but it will also demand things of him. And it's at once an opportunity, but it's also a testing ground to show that he can still deliver against the big teams at this level.
Yeah, I know it is going to be a big occasion for him. I remember when Ron O'Gara won his 100th cap, it was against South Africa as well, 12 years ago. He was on the bench. And I remember asking Brian O'Driscoll if O'Gara would still lead out the team. I can't remember what Brian said in the interview, but I remember straight afterwards, he was like, I better go upstairs now and ask Ronan to lead out the team. I can't remember if he did or not. So look, it is, and we do need to mark the fact that 100th, you know, Ireland cap for Murray. First scrum half, Irish scrum half to reach that mark as well. Peter Stringer was left hanging there on 98 caps. So, yeah, you know,
he's Ireland's greatest nine. Like, you know, how his career finishes will not diminish what he achieved in the first 80 odd caps of his career. And his performance in Chicago in 2016 was one of the greatest performances I've ever seen. Think of the 2011 World Cup when he burst onto the scene and beat Australia. There's so many examples of it. So we're talking about an all-time great. It's just whether he's still at the level that he was at before he got injured in 2018, and whether he's still the right man for this team and the style they play. And that's where the questions will come. But you got to respect it. I mean, this is such a small group of players who've hit that milestone. And as you say, he's the first scrum half to do it. And he's been such a great servant to Munster and Ireland. He deserves a massive ovation on Saturday and people to kind of park their whatever kind of grievances they have, because he has been a great player. But we, at the same time, our listeners want us to discuss whether he's the right man for the job as well. So you kind of have to balance both sides of it.
Yeah, come here. Saturday is also going to be probably the biggest game of Robert Balakoon's life as
Absolutely.
Well. He named on the right wing, Mac Hansen switches over to the left, and it feels like we've been waiting for a day like this from Balakoon. I mean, he's played twice before, against the USA in June last year and against Argentina in November. And then, of course, he got that unfortunate hip injury, so he couldn't go on that tour to New Zealand. Now, there are obviously injuries to other players, you know, the likes of James Lowe, but How do you expect Balakoon will handle Saturday?
He's handled every step along the way very well. So I would imagine he's relishing this. I don't think I've ever actually sat down and interviewed him. He's comes across from afar as being a very impressive figure coming through by Enniskillen. He's kind of handled every step of the way so far really, really well. I know the coaches have been keen to get him to this stage. I think there was massive expectation that he would have a big involvement last November, and it didn't really materialize. Six Nations came and went, and it was Mac Hansen who kind of skipped ahead of him. And you know, there are good back three players in this country. You know, Jordan Larmour, I know he's injured at the moment. He struggled to get in. There's other players who've struggled to get in. And Balakoon's just had to be really patient. And I think, again, New Zealand, whether it was in those Maori games or against the All Blacks, he was kind of scheduled to make another step there and didn't happen because of that injury. So what he does is he gives Ireland another attacking weapon, a very different type of attacking weapon. It sees Mac Hansen shipped across, and obviously you lose what James Lowe or Jacob Stockdale can give you in terms of your kicking game. There's no real cannon left boot there that Ireland have used so often. But what it does give you is two incredibly exciting wingers who can both tear things up against a really, really exciting X-factor back three that South Africa have as well. So there's a lot of really good attacking talent on the pitch. We hope that they get involved. And if Ireland can manufacture ways of getting Balakoon onto the ball, you know, get mismatches against someone like Franz Malherbe, who's 130-odd kilos, you know, that's where you want to see him open up. We don't want to see him chasing box kicks all day. He'll have to do some of that. He'll have to have his nuts and bolts there as well. But they've got to get him. And what Andy Farrell wants from his wingers, and we've seen this with Lowe, we've seen it with Hansen, and that's why they get the nods, is that they come home looking for work. They come in off their wing. They're busy. They're playmakers. They're everything. And they get their hands on the ball an awful lot. Balakoon needs to be hungry for work as well. He needs to not just be hanging out there waiting for the ball. The ball, he has to bring himself into the game as well. And that's probably what they've been looking for him at Ulster. But, you know, look, when he's played well for Ulster, he's been sensational. He's a good defender, brilliant attacker, strong in the air, and he has a lovely running style that causes defensive problems. And forecast last time I checked was pretty good. He should get an opportunity to at least show his wares on Saturday, and that's pretty interesting to see.
Yeah, as you mentioned there as well, Hugo Keenan back for his first game of the season. The pack very much along expected lines. What do you make of the bench? Andy Farrell wasn't lured into that 6-2 split, and Stuart McCluskey, a very interesting presence on the bench as well.
Yeah, he's picked centres in that number 23 jersey quite frequently. You know, Bundy Aki's come on to big games, and Robbie Henshaw has as well. So it's perhaps no surprise, especially, look, the team was pretty much flagged. There was 24 members of the squad who weren't involved in that Ireland A side. And it was a question of whether it would be Ryan Baird or Stuart McCluskey, whether he would go with an extra forward in Baird, who, although he's had concussion issues recently, was looking really, really on top of his game for Leinster before he got injured. And there must have been a temptation there to bring him on as well as Kieran Treadwell and Jack Conan.
Would you like to have seen that, Rory?
I personally would, but in fairness, Stuart McCluskey's athletic profile is not too bad either. He's not that much smaller than Ryan Baird, so you're bringing on an auxiliary flanker who, against a tired defence, can throw an offload, can come up with a piece of magic. So, like, you know, McCluskey, this is the biggest game of McCluskey's career. You know, he's never been selected. I know he started a game against England in the Six Nations in 2016, I think it was. And that was a big day for him. But this, after all he's achieved with Ulster, after all the people saying he should have more Ireland caps, well, now's his chance. You know, if he gets introduced, we may see him come on for Balakoon with Ringrose moving out to the wing, maybe. You know, it depends on how injuries go on the day. But he will now have a chance to come into it, the first choice Ireland team in a tier one game against the world champions. And it's up to him now to do it. Now, whether he gets 5 minutes or 20, he could be on after five, just depending on how things go. We've seen how good he is for Ulster. He's magic when he gets going. His hands are brilliant. He's a good reader in defence. He makes big plays. He choke tackles well. He's a massive man. That will count for something against South Africa as well. So it's not that dissimilar, I suppose, to having a flanker on the bench, given his size. But he's also got the skill set to go with it.
For sure. Now, we've got both teams. We've got both benches. Roy, where are your concerns primarily now going into this game?
The scrum, the maul, I think Ireland have struggled, and Leinster, who make up the majority of the pack and the team, have struggled against teams with a physical profile like South Africa. Think of Saracens in the Champions Cup. Think of La Rochelle with Will Skelton, who was also with Saracens. We're going to see him with Australia in a couple of weeks' time. But you look at Etzebeth, you look at that front row, they've kind of flipped the bomb squad. So you have Kitsoff, you have Malcolm Marks, and you have Mal Herb, just an enormous, powerful scrummaging unit who are all technicians as well. Then they have the Ombanambi Inche and Vincent Cock to come off the bench. I mean, they'd start from pretty much any other team in the world as well. You've got six forwards on the bench that can come on and squeeze the life out of Ireland. So if Ireland can get kind of, you know, corralled into the shipping channels and beaten into submission, if Ireland could see penalties, if they drop the ball, South Africa will kick. They will go to the corner. They'll get to their maul. They'll eke out more penalties. They'll get tries. You know, they have that. And also, they have an incredible array of attacking talent in the back three, so that when Ireland are tired after being beaten down and beaten up, then those players come into the equation. So that's where my concern is, that the athletic profile of the South African team is the type that Ireland players have struggled against over the years. And if they get sucked into the game South Africa want to play, then they could be in major trouble. But apart from that, I'm just really excited to see how the Ireland, like this, I think this, you know, styles make fights. And I think this is a really interesting clash of one team. You know, I think I labelled South Africa the big bad box the other day because they play such a brutally ugly and highly effective game. And I actually quite like it to watch. I think it's enthralling. I don't like it when teams try and play the same way against them. But Ireland, I think, will try and play that fast flowing rugby that works so well in New Zealand. And the challenge is to make it work against the Jack Nienaber defence, against this collection of incredible athletes who are also really good on the ground, who have, you know, they have a breakdown threat. They'll challenge you in the air in the lineout. They will test every facet of Ireland's game on Saturday. They're not perfect. They're, you know, they have a couple of weak points in the team, but they're very, very good. They're not the world champions for nothing.
Now, I'm no Colleen Rooney and reading clues or anything like that. Are you verging towards South Africa?
Yes, I've always felt that this Ireland team and this Leinster team, when they go up against these teams, can be beaten into submission. And I think that South Africa pack, that collection of forwards, with Ian Henderson missing, he's a big loss. I think South Africa can put the squeeze on in that Saracen style. Erasmus and Nienaber, clever coaches. Look, Ireland are not going to win every game from now until the World Cup. They are the world's number one team. I think they'll have a really good crack at winning the Six Nations. But this, to me, is a banana skin. I don't need to play the game. You know, France, maybe in Paris, didn't quite get the dominance that they could have. I think in the last 20 minutes, we saw some of what I'm talking about, where they just overwhelmed Ireland physically with the massive men that they have. And that's the challenge for Ireland. Like, I'd love to be wrong. I'd love to see this attack thrive against a defence like this. And until we see it, it'll take seeing it to believe it, to me. But even when I left the stadium a year ago after Ireland had beaten New Zealand, I wanted this fixture to come around quicker. I want to see Ireland against South Africa now to know what they have to do to be ready for next year. I think that even the experience of playing against them will stand to them in a year's time, but I think South Africa may just edge this one.
Okay, lovely stuff. Rory, thanks so many for that. Now you are heading off to Andy Farrell's press conference. You can read Farrell's thoughts on independent.ie and in tomorrow's Irish Independent. Now both Rory and myself and Keane Tracy will be doing a Left Wing podcast from the Aviva Stadium after Saturday's game. Talk to you then.